Young girl killed as rock slide hits family's car at Glacier National Park. Ohio teen arrested, possession of assault rifle and 10,000 rounds of ammo. Man whose wife was killed in the El Paso shooting is left with no family, invites the public to funeral. Indian security forces inside Kashmir stop people from moving and speaking freely. These were just a few of the tragic headlines that I was reading as I was preparing this message a few weeks ago. And I don't know about you, but when I read about headlines like that and when I watch videos about them online, at times, probably in my weakest moments, I ask of God, where are you? Have you lost control of things down here? I mean, after creating the universe and putting us in it, did you renounce your throne and allow things to just go into utter chaos? Maybe I'm the only one, but I venture to guess that I'm not. And when we ask questions like these, when they arise in our minds, it's no wonder that fear can take over in us individually, and we see it in our society, right? Fear can overwhelm us, and when it begins to do that, faith begins to fade. And so whether we want to admit it or not, some of us believe the lie that God has lost control of things down here. At least that's how we see it. Or maybe we believe that he just doesn't care about our suffering. Oftentimes, the things that have been passed down to us about God are not true. And maybe these false ideas of God were passed on to you. Maybe they stem from your family of origin. Maybe they come from a tragic event in your life. Maybe these misconceptions come from an influential teacher or author or artist. Wherever they come from, one thing's for sure, these misconceptions make it hard to have an authentic relationship with God. And so this new series, Flip the Script, is intended to raise our view of God. And ultimately, the goal is to flip the script of the lies that we've believed and instead embrace the truths of all that God is so that we can live for His glory and our joy. I want to begin with this morning. In many ways, our God is incomprehensible. But there are attributes about God throughout Scripture that are meant to give us comfort, to give us peace, to encourage us, especially in our times of suffering and confusion. And so my prayer is that we can reframe some of our thoughts about God to help us during these times where evil can overwhelm us and the suffering that is in our world can overtake us. And so my hope as believers is that we can say with a grateful heart, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So let me begin with this. Many of us feel this. Many of us sense this. You may even believe this, that God's lost control. The truth is that our God is enthroned. And I'm going to hope that this sticks so we can cover that up. Our God is enthroned. And if that's true, and I believe that it is, Scripture teaches us that God is enthroned, then He reigns over all things. One of my favorites is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, that reminds us that God in Christ created all things, and in Christ all things are held together. A few weeks ago, we We focused in on Revelation chapter 1, where Jesus' divinity is on full display. John describes Jesus in Revelation 1 as robed in royalty. The golden sash and all the kingly things were a part of his appearance as John was seeing him. So here we have the King of Kings who holds the universe in his right hand. And so God in Christ is enthroned as king. I think it's fair at this point to stop and ask, how did God become king? I think when we hear the word king, generally we think of things like power or status, maybe even influence. However, Jesus came to intersect the truth of God's kingdom with the way of the cross. And we'll say that one more time. Jesus came to intersect the truth of God's kingdom with the way of the cross. You see, the people of Israel, the people before the time of Jesus, and the people at the time of Jesus, they were expecting a Messiah king who would ascend to the throne and overtake the Roman stronghold and reestablish Israel, God's chosen people, reestablish them as the people who reign over the earth. And instead, as a fulfillment of God's covenants and promises, Jesus came to teach and to live a life of selfless sacrifice, a life of humility and gentleness, and above all, unconditional love. God in Jesus Christ became king, and God shocked the system and the people that were a part of the system. You see, the people expected a king of power, a king of influence and status and royalty by their definitions. And instead, what did Jesus give them? He gave them a heavy dose of humility and gentleness and selflessness. Instead of ascending to a throne of power, Jesus lowered himself voluntarily for the sake of the world, and he was raised up on a cross to die. Instead of wearing a crown of status and power, Jesus wore a crown of thorns. And so in the person of Jesus on the cross, the world finally had their king. The king who would be the Messiah of the Jews and the Lord of the Gentiles. In King Jesus, God is enthroned to reign over all the world. And now, church, God summons all people. He summons us to accept the forgiveness that is only found in Jesus Christ. A door that had been slammed shut and locked has now been flung wide open. And on the other side of that door is redemption and restoration in Jesus Christ. But that's not the only thing that's there. Because listen to me, our personal salvation is just a small part of a much greater whole. And sometimes we get focused in on our own personal redemption and we miss what's on the other side of that door along with it. There's also an invitation. And sometimes we ignore the invitation. Sometimes we can't see it because we're not looking. We're not seeking. But there is an invitation along with our redemption to be a part of God's kingdom society, a church society where God's people, by empowerment of the Holy Spirit, usher in kingdom realities on earth as it is in heaven. And above all, our enthroned king summons his church today, his kingdom people, to follow him. And we all shake our head and say, yeah, that's good, that's right. We need to follow King Jesus. And though that is a privilege, it means we must imitate him. We must live like he did. And King Jesus, Listen to me. King Jesus didn't love power. He gave power up to overwhelm the world through the power of love. So as the enthroned king who understands our struggles in this life, our temptations, God is present with us as king. There's not a place in the entire world where you and I can escape from his presence. Psalm 139 captures this beautifully. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And so God has promised through his Holy Spirit to be with us, to be near us. And this promise for the people of God does not mean that we will escape suffering or pain. Matter of fact, A.W. Tozer, a great Christian author, put it this way. Listen to these words. It would be less than honest to promise every believer continual jubilee and less than realistic to expect it. As a child may cry out in pain, even when sheltered in their mother's arms, so a Christian may sometimes know what it means to suffer, even in the conscious presence of God. So God is always with us, individually, yes, and as a body of believers, he's always with us. And perhaps most tangibly, we feel God's presence through the comfort of other believers. We, his people, are his hands and feet of comfort and peace and love. And so responding to God's kingdom call on our lives in a world that is full of evil and suffering means that we will respond. We will sit with, we will listen well, we will love people who are hurting and who are suffering. We will be people of reconciliation, of peace and comfort and love. And when all seems hopeless, it should be the people of God who step into those spaces and love well. God's presence through his church ushers in a glimpse of heaven on earth. And so as the enthroned king who is always present with us, always near us, he is also constant. Lots of things in our world are out of control. Lots of things in our world change, right? The weather, as Nick described around communion, I remember that snow fest that afternoon. The weather can change at the drop of a hat. Our bodies are ever-changing. Political climates change. The cost of living changes. Our clothing styles, bless our hearts, change. Laws are ever-changing. Friendships change. Seasons and schedules change. There's change around us always. It's prevalent to the point that we may often wonder, is there anything that doesn't change? God does not change. In a word, God is immutable. This means that God is not capable of, he's not susceptible to change. And with God, there are never variations in who he is. Throughout the whole of Scripture, God is referred to as unchangeable. Let me give you a couple of my favorites. In the prophet Malachi, God is making this proclamation about himself through the prophet to the people of God. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. And James chapter 1, verse 17 reminds us of this defining truth about God. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting sands. Our earthly relationships, they're ever shifting, right? Sometimes changing for the better, sometimes for the worst. Our friendships can change. They can change because of moving, job transitions. I mean, there's all kinds of things that affect the context of our relationships. Our neighbors may be loyal for a while and then turn on a dime for some reason. Our children might be loving one moment and aloof the next. Parents might feel supportive one day and critical the next. We're all imperfect in our relationships. And so things change, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worst. But I say all that to say this: we do not need to worry about that with God. He is exactly the same from one day to the next. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is constant. And as the enthroned King who reigns over all things, who is ever near us, who is always constant, God is also long-suffering. God is long-suffering. In the midst of the hardships of life, our triune God understands our frustrations. He does. He's patient with us in our anger. God is long-suffering in our fear, in our doubts, in our questions. And even when we do things that are contrary to God's will, He is long-suffering with us. What is long-suffering? It's a beautiful word picture. Long-suffering is showing patience in spite of trouble caused. You following that? Showing patience in spite of trouble caused, especially things caused by others. And so for me, the best example of this attribute of God, it's found in 2 Peter chapter 3. Listen closely to these words. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is long-suffering with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. And so there are times in our lives when we ask, how long, God? How long will you wait while we suffer, while there's pain, while evil is prevalent around us? And in those moments when it feels like God has lost control of all things, perhaps remembering this attribute of His can comfort us and bring us peace. God is long-suffering for the world. He wants as many people as possible to come to know Him as God. And when life overwhelms us with difficult challenges, and it will overwhelm us with painful moments and severe suffering, I think it's good for us to reflect now. How will we react in those times? Will we see God as enthroned or someone who has lost all control? Will we see God as apathetic or one who is always with us and for us? In those moments when things just seem to be crashing down, will we see God as someone who is constant and true, or someone who just seems like He's ever shifting and changing? In those times, will we view God as unfair and absent? Or by faith, will we choose to see Him as long-suffering and gracious? It's good for us to reflect now on who He is, so when those tough times come, we can choose by faith to believe that God is enthroned. In light of all that we've explored this morning, and there's much, much more that we don't have time for, but the things that we've talked about in reference to God's sovereignty this morning, I want you to consider these abbreviated words from past preacher Charles Spurgeon. Listen closely to what he said. He said, "Men and women of weak or no faith," so people who are on the fringes of Christianity, or people who are on the outside looking in, right? That's what he's saying. Men and women of weak or no faith will allow God to be everywhere except on his throne. And I would just pause and say, I think we as believers struggle with this too. They will allow him to be in his workshop, to fashion worlds and to make the stars. They will allow God to sustain the earth or to light the lamps of heaven and rule the waves of the ever-moving ocean. But when God ascends to his throne, his creatures begin to gnash their teeth. And when we, believers, begin to proclaim an enthroned God and his right to reign in all things, to dispose of his creatures as he thinks well, without consulting them first, then it is that men and women turn a deaf ear to God. For this God on his throne is not the God that they love. But it is God up on his throne that we, believers, love. We love to preach him and to serve him. It is God enthroned that we must trust. We must trust him. And these reflections are important for us to consider as we grow, as we try to mature as Christians. We generally don't seem to mind God's sovereignty when things are what? Kind of going our way, right? All things seem right when things are going our way, and it appears that God is doing things the way that we want him to. You struggle with this, or is it just me? But we struggle with all of this when God, from our perspective, when God doesn't do what we request of him. Okay, it's football season, so those of you who will understand this language will get it. It's kind of like being a fair-weathered fan, right? Even if you're not a sports fan, you probably understand what I'm saying. When your team, whoever that is winning, man, all things are great, everything's great. It's easy to be a fan of a winning team, right? But when they start struggling, when things are going really poorly, fair-weathered fans begin to fade, right? Unfortunately, sometimes that's how we treat God. When things are going really well from our perspective, it's really easy to be a fan. But when things start to go poorly, it can be hard to trust him. We can become bitter, even resentful, when suffering comes our way. Where we really, listen to me now, this is it, the lesson is yours. Where we really begin to grow as disciples is when we choose to trust our enthroned King in times of suffering and joy, right? That's when we really begin to grow. Because listen to me, I know it's hard maybe for you this morning. You may be in the middle of a time of pain and suffering, but listen to me, I need you to hear this. When we make that choice to trust, I need you to know God is present and he is constant and he is long-suffering all the time. He's always who he is. Always. God is enthroned. He has not lost control. I pray we can embrace that and grow in that in our relationship with him. And if you need to respond to God in any way this morning, we would ask you to do that. You can do that as we sing this song. There will be shepherds and ministers in the aisle ready to receive you if you need to respond in any way. Let's stand and sing together.